Easy game. Mythbuster is on.
This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Super Bowl Sunday morning. A big day, obviously, in the sports world in America, but we'll cover some of the racing aspects, going back and taking a look at a little bit of yesterday's action as well at Gulfstream. And speaking of Gulfstream, I want to thank them for their sponsorship. Gulfstream Park, champions, start here. Also want to alert you on this big game day that you can come down to the clubhouse racebook and kind of kick the day off early before you settle in a little bit later on for some football. Today it's a double promotion day here at the clubhouse racebook, a knockout challenge, a match bet promotion. So if you want to kind of kick off your day with some horse racing action, no better place to do it than the clubhouse racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Also do want to give you a programming note. We are in Las Vegas next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Our second year out at the National Handicapping Championship. Some of the best players in the country, best players in the world, smartest guys as far as handicapping and wagering. And we'll get some interviews during the 3 days we're out there, as we did last year. Follow some of the local folks. There's typically a little group of locals that made it through various contests during the year, and we will check in with those folks as well, and more. It was a lot of fun last year when we were out there. Anticipate just as much fun this year. We're coming from Bally's, live from Las Vegas, next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right here on Capital OTB TV. All right, as noted, we're going to do a little recap of some of the stakes action, a little handicapping as we normally do on a Sunday morning, and then towards the end of the program, some more stakes review. We'll have Mike Welch on with us from Daily Racing Form. Of course, we talk to Mike pretty regularly when he's based up in Saratoga in the summertime, but his home base the rest of the year down in Florida. So he was at Gulfstream yesterday doing write-ups on some of the stakes for the Racing Form. You can check out his work, obviously, drf.com, but we'll get some of his thoughts on the stakes action yesterday down at Gulfstream. We'll talk a little bit about that at the top of the show as well, because certainly the performance of Tis the Law, very, very impressive. So that's coming up on today's edition of Racing Across America. And why don't we jump right in? We'll talk, obviously, about this race also with Mike, but I couldn't ignore the top of the show, the Holy Bull. We talked with Jack Knowlton yesterday on Racing Across America. Jack, the managing partner of Saratoga Stable, who own Tis the Law. And it's funny, I was out in the front side of the race book after I got done yesterday. Went out and watched the Holy Bull, and some folks were kind of saying, I wonder if Jack thought Lightning would strike twice like this. At the level he plays, you wind up with a funny side, and you might think, I don't know whether we'll get to that level of the game again, but they clearly have with Tis the Law. When we play the replay, we will watch the entire race. I'll tell you a couple of things. Watch the break, because as we talked about with Jack yesterday, the horse, a little trouble at the start, at least the last couple of races, so they've been working on the gate with the horse. Wow, that problem solved. He kind of beats the gate. But then watch at it seems clearly like, and we'll talk with Mike Welch about it, because his follow-up article seemed to indicate that from Barkley Tag. They wanted to be on the outside. So the horse beats the gate, but Manny doesn't go immediately to the rail. He kind of stays out in the three path as they go to the first turn. And then he has no choice but to kind of settle in and go over. But keep your eyes on Manny Franco on the backstretch as he puts the brakes on at one point and clearly wants to get outside. He stops the horse, lets a couple others go by him, and then pulls to the outside and goes from there. So we'll watch the race from the break here. And again, Tis the Law is going to be the number three horse, and it's just going to be an incredibly good break. Boom, he's there. Now all options are his. What does he do? And normally you would go over to the rail. You can see he's out in about the three or the four path here. I think hoping somebody comes up inside. They don't. And at that point, he's kind of forced to settle in and go down. So now he has a horse in front of him, a couple of horses outside of him. And again, we'll talk to Mike Welch, but it seemed like Barkley Tag, the instructions were kind of get to the outside with the horse. And so at this point, Manny says, ooh, I'll put the brakes on here. And pulls back about two or three lengths, finds an opening, and then pulls to the outside. And that just adds to the performance here because you are effectively stopping the horse's forward momentum when you put your feet in the dashboard like that and kind of make him come back a few lengths. Then he pulls to the outside, kind of relaxes a little bit, and then Manny says go. And right about here, you're feeling like, oh, this could be a nice performance. But you just never know until they hit the top of the stretch and kind of go eyeball to eyeball with the competition. The four horses, ATA Indian, the horse that I had right underneath and was coming out of a nice optional claiming win last time down at Gulfstream. So this was a nice horse. And here, Tis the Law goes by, and now it's just a question of what's going to happen in the stretch. And is he going to pull away nicely? He ducks in a little bit there. That was maybe a little bit of a concern, but then that was when he changed leads. When he straightens out, boom, chart margin winds up to be three lengths. But from second to third, over 11 lengths. Toledo runs third. The Chad Brown trainee, Relentless Dancer, runs fourth. The Mike Maker horse that was coming out of a stakes win down at Delta Downs. Mayberry Deputy ran fifth. A horse that coming out of a maiden breaker last time for Ken McPeak was attracting a little bit of attention from people too. A little modest buzz. Went off a 20-1, but attracted some buzz. We talked about it on the show yesterday. But Tis the Law, just wow. I mean, he looked fabulous under Manny Franco there. And we'll check in, as I say, with Mike Welch and get some of the comments he got from the team after the race. But you would think, I mean, it seems undeniable that he zooms to the top of most people's Derby lists at this point with that performance, which kind of, redemption after the little bit of a disappointment in the Kentucky Jockey Club. I said after that race, though, going back to the race at Churchill, first time around two turns, sloppy track, ran into some traffic. To me, that was a race you come out of with some education and maybe move forward from. So he had been off since that November 30th race, but as Jack said, working really well up at Palmetto's and validated what we saw last year in the best of Tis the Law, the maiden breaker at Saratoga and the win in the Champagne. Looked really good yesterday in the Holy Bull. And as Jack said, the game plan going forward, likely, things could always change, but likely they will head to Fairgrounds for the Louisiana Derby, which this year is 1 3/16, which in and of itself becomes pretty interesting to see, horses. I'm going to be interested to see what they do coming out of that, because you get the 1 3/16, all of a sudden that question mark about the 1 1/8 is a little less of a question when you're going that 1 3/16 distance. So it'll be interesting to see if that's the game plan they still choose. And as I say, watching horses this year coming out of that Louisiana Derby. All right, let's take a look at when we have Mike on later, we'll take a look at the Swale and the Forward Gal. They were also interesting on the card yesterday at Gulfstream, but I wanted to hit on a couple others that we won't talk about necessarily with him. The Dania Beach, again, that subdivision of three-year-olds on the turf that I really like so much. This one, it was a tough pull for me to come up with the winner here. We'll watch the stretch run. It's number four, Field Pass, getting up over the horse that led most of the way. Number 10, Gets Smoking. Number two, South Bend. South Bend was a horse that I thought was live, had in the mix. I use number three, Homeland. Homeland just got all bottled up and never really had anywhere to go at 8-5. Winds up running a disappointing eighth in the field of 10. But again, it was Field Pass, Get Smoking, South Bend, 12-1 over 7-1 over 7-1. The 7-1 on South Bend, that was playable to me. Field Pass tossed in a dud last time at Churchill. That was back in October, but that was on the dirt. The horse was better on the turf, but still seemed maybe number-wise a step below the horses that were taking a little more action yesterday. That said, you know, there was the two-year-old to three-year-old layoff, so there was the opportunity to come back perhaps with a little bit of a better performance in the three-year-old debut. That's the way it worked out. Paco Lopez on board, got the horse in gear, and at $26.60 gets it done. Get Smoking to me was a little bit interesting. Came out of a front-running second-place finish in the Kitten's Joy, led most of the way and just got caught late. So this is a lightly raced three-year-old from Tommy Bush, who, again, had run decently in a stakes race already down at Gulfstream. So that one I could have made a little more of a case for than Field Pass. And like in the Kitten's Joy, led most of the way and just got caught late. South Bend, as I say, definitely. That one was right in my mix. So the two underneath were a little more playable. Field Pass, as I say, would have been kind of a tough pull. But if you had it, you wound up with a decent little price there in the Dania Beach yesterday. And again, horses to watch in that fun division that has a lot of opportunities as the year comes along, the three-year-olds on the turf. All right, let's go to race number eight yesterday at Gulfstream, the Sweetest Chant. These are three-year-old fillies on the grass. It's going to be Cheermeister, a horse I had down at the bottom of my mix. Cheermeister, and when I talked yesterday on OTB Live, I said this horse had tossed in kind of a clunker in the preview start, the Ginger Brew, but it kind of had chased, been up near a blistering pace. It wasn't going to be the same kind of pace on Saturday. And sure enough, this one goes out in a much more reasonable pace, takes him all the way around. Number six, Michelin, runs second. Ivietsu, the nine, runs third. I like She's My Type. She's My Type winds up fifth in the field of seven. And again, another one that just didn't seem to have anything in the stretch, you know, when the running started. So moral reasoning, a little bit of a disappointment in there. Lightly raced for Chad and Klarovich and winds up, again, disappointing as the 8-5 favorite. But Cheermeister, again, when I had at the bottom of my mix, given that the pace scenario looked like it was going to be a little more reasonable on Saturday, and in fact was, that one took him all the way around, $17.20. Michelin is a horse that I didn't use, but I could have. Came out of an optional claiming win over Tampa in the race before for Mike Stidham. Runs second at 13-1. Ivietsu, that one would have been the one completing the trifecta that would have been the tough one to put in the mix for me. Had not tried the turf yet. Had a turf work up at Palmetto's leading into this race that was pretty good. Was coming out of just a real dud in the Goldenrod at Churchill, but obviously the Goldenrod, you know, you're going against some of the better two-year-old fillies at the end of the year on the dirt. So there were some possibilities that you could have maybe circled if you thought the horse was a little bit playable. And if you did, at the bottom of the try, well, the try had to be okay. You know, 50 cents, $548 in the Swedish Chant yesterday at Gulfstream. So again, three-year-old fillies, three-year-old boys on the turf at Gulfstream yesterday in those subdivisions. The three-year-old boys, particularly, that I enjoy during the year. We will see if I can predict better during the year in those three-year-old turf races. But plenty of opportunities come up all year long. Almost every venue has some nice little three-year-old turf race, Hall of Fame up at Saratoga, of course. All right, let's move on to more three-year-old action that has the potential to play on the Derby Trail this year, and look at New York's three-year-old race from yesterday, the Withers Grade 3 event, $250,000 up for grabs, and they go in February, a legitimate mile and an eighth. I like Portos, the number eight horse from Todd Pletcher, coming off a big maiden breaker, just because Pletcher is so potent in these Derby Trail races. That one sits in the back of the pack for much of the time and comes up late as the 5-2 second choice to run third. Shotsky, coming out of the Remsen win, the number five horse, will run second as the 9-5 favorite. But winning, Max Player. Max Player gets it done at 5-1. Max Player for Linda Rice had started the career with two races down at Parks, close up second, and then broke the maiden in a maiden special weight, both of them. But Max Player steps up into stakes company yesterday and gets it done. Again, the number three horse here, as you can see, coming in the orange silks, actually on the racing form, they are listed as hot pink. I guess they are more pink. So Max Player gets it done off of a couple of races at Parks. The winner of the Swale yesterday down at Gulfstream, and again, we'll talk about that race with Mike Welch, also was coming out of a race at Parks. So Parks performers doing pretty well. The follow-up article by Dave Grenig seemed to indicate, you know, they'll pick their spots. They didn't want to go in the mile and an eighth. They don't want to cut back to the mile in the Gotham, so maybe they'll wait to the Wood Memorial. You know, that's in this day and age, I guess that, you know, that's not that long of a wait, I guess. But that seems like the game plan. But that it seemed like they were open to, if something comes up, and we'll see how the horse is doing. But potentially we'll see Max Player next in the Wood Memorial. Shotsky, again, coming out of the Remsen win, a good second in there. So that horse obviously goes forward as a player on the three-year-old scene as well. All right. Also, wanted to go over to Oaklawn yesterday because on the three-year-old filly side of things, and one that could potentially play on the Derby Trail, and I'll get to that in a second, but Taraz was making her three-year-old debut yesterday at Oaklawn in the Martha Washington. We'll watch the stretch run. It was a scratch-reduced field of only four. There was only five entered. I think a lot of that was anticipating Taraz. Taraz Brad Coxon, as you can see in the Judmont colors, it just seems like she's kind of under wraps here. And Flojo Florent Giroux is just taking her around the track. Running second was O Serafina, who was a nice maiden breaker in the prior start for Joe Sharp. Running third was High on Gin. Chart margin between first and second, just under four lengths. Taraz went off at 1-9, $2.20, and you never sweated your $2.20 payoff there. Career start number three for Taraz off of two very nice wins last year as a two-year-old. The maiden breaker at Churchill, won that by seven lengths. Little stakes race and start number two down at Fairgrounds last time, won that by 11 lengths. Yesterday by just under four lengths. So Taraz off and running in her three-year-old filly season, perhaps headed to the Kentucky Oaks. But there was some buzz about maybe trying this horse against the boys yesterday in the winner's circle after the race. Nancy Holthus from Oaklawn Park talked to Brad Cox and tried to get Brad to say, would the boys be in the future? He was totally noncommittal about it, kind of a wait-and-see attitude, whether that'll be the game plan. But you would think that at least that's on the radar for them. It'd be interesting, given the way the point system has changed, where the fillies really just, unless they step into a bona fide Derby prep race, they don't have any chance to get points or head to the Kentucky Derby. And it's always fun when a filly kind of steps in. Certainly up in Canada, we've seen some fillies do very nicely in the Queen's Plate. And historically, we've seen fillies that have run well in the Kentucky Derby as well. But again, with the point system the way it is now, it's hard for fillies to get in the race. So it'll be fun to see if Taraz does kind of jump out and step up and take the challenge and try to go against the boys and maybe get some Kentucky Derby points. All right, let's go out to Southern California as we wrap up the recap segment. Look at a couple of stakes races. We'll look at their three-year-old race yesterday, the Bob Lewis. Bob Lewis was a field of six. The 3-5 favorite, understandably so, is Thousand Words. We talked about this race yesterday with Ellis Starr, and we both said, you know, it's going to be hard to get past Thousand Words. 2-for-2 in the career, including the win and the loss to Al Futurity last time. The Baffert name, the numbers, the two wins. The horse was going to take action, clearly did at 3-5, and Thousand Words got it done yesterday. Thousand Words, the two horse. Chart margin of 3/4 of a length over Royal Act, the four. High Velocity, the number five, runs third. High Velocity was the other Baffert runner and wound up to be the second choice at 5-2. Royal Act, the horse that ran second, was 18-1 in here for Peter Ertin, lightly raced and had the potential to move forward. But you can see a nice win for Thousand Words. So Baffert, another three-year-old on the Derby trail potentially. Getting it done there in an unsurprising fashion, $3.20, your win ticket there. Afterwards, and I think we have a couple of pictures, trophy presentation, you can see in the middle of the picture there in the blue sport coat, our man Steve Bick. He was handing out the trophy. Had the radio show out at Santa Anita the end of the week. I think he's still there Monday and Tuesday before he, like we, heads out to Vegas for the National Handicapping Championship. But Bick in the middle of the picture there presenting the trophy for the Bob Lewis. And you can see there they also had the commemorative poster. It was Bob Baffert. What a way to do it. Bob Baffert's 3,000th career win. So a nice story all around. I pulled up the Equibase stats just to see where Baffert came in on the list. And I'm just checking now because I had him. I thought I had him circled. But you would think 3,000. One of the things is they hadn't updated. When I went to, I thought they updated at the end of the day. Maybe they'll update today. But they still had Baffert for 2,998. But he sits number 32 on the list of all-time trainer wins. On the top of the list, with 9,445, Dale Baird. He, of course, retired. Still active. Number two on the list, Steve Asmussen, with over 8,700 wins. Jerry Hollendorfer, 7,600. Jack Van Berg, 65. King Leatherberry, 65. Scott Lake, 6,000. Bill Mott. Bill Mott's on the approach. We will get it. That'd be interesting to see. I was going to say he needs 23 more wins. I don't think, we won't last till Saratoga with Mott. But Mott, sooner rather than later, 5,000 career wins. He's at 4,977 currently. Pletcher at 4,863. Wayne Lucas, 4,800. Richard Hazelton, not familiar with them, but 4,700. There's your top 10. So again, top 10 ranges from 9,400 down to 4,700. Bob Baffert yesterday, still a very impressive 3,000 wins for the career, sitting 32 on the all-time list. So congratulations to him with the nice performance yesterday in the Bob Lewis. And finally, the San Pasquale. Baffert wound up with the favorite, Roadster. Roadster disappoints, running seventh in the San Pasquale. Talked about this race yesterday a little bit with Ellis Starr, and I said, I have liked Combatant throughout the career. Combatant yesterday went off at a very generous 18-1, but could only wind up third. He'll be number 10. Number 8, 235, runs second at 22-1. But as the second choice at 2-1, it's number 5, Midcourt, getting it done. John Sheriff's trainee won the Native Diver 2 back at Del Mar and had run a decent little third last time behind Giftbox in the San Antonio, but got it done yesterday in the San Pasquale. Again, Midcourt going off as the 2-1 second choice. All right, that takes you through some of the stakes action from yesterday. Nice stakes action, particularly on the three-year-old side. Clearly, we are underway as far as the Derby Trail is considered. And tis the law, as I say, has to have moved up to number one on most, if not everybody's list. And again, we will talk a little bit more about that race when Mike Welch joins us a little bit later on. We'll hit on a couple of other races, including the Swale, which was a little more three-year-old sprint meant, but we'll talk about that one as well. First, though, we'll take a break and come back, do a little bit of handicapping, and then, as I say, a little bit later on, Mike Welch with some more thoughts on the Gulfstream action for yesterday. That is all coming up right after this. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be.
Visit Rivers Casino and Resort, the Capital Region's only destination for live table game action and the hottest new slots paying out millions. And they're off. Horse betting is now at Rivers Casino and Resort with Capital off-track betting terminals and live tellers located just off the gaming floor at Van Slick's. Get in on all the action at Rivers Casino and Resort.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrill in the studio. As always, thanks for joining us. I thought this morning I'd take a little look at the early pick four at Oaklawn. If you watch enough, you know I really enjoy Oaklawn racing. I think there's a lot of value. And we're now into the meat enough that things, you know, you can make some decisions. Anytime a meet starts, you like to, hey, how's the track playing? Who's maybe hot early in the meet, who's not, those type of things. And there's enough information now to kind of make some of those decisions. And again, I just think there's a lot of value, particularly in the picks. Pick threes sometimes down at Oaklawn offer some nice value. And you can jump in at the 50-cent level pick threes for them, 50-cent obviously pick four. So again, we'll take a look at the early pick four. I have no ticket formulated right now because I'm a little too deep in some of the legs, so I'm waiting and hoping maybe a scratch can kind of parse things out a little bit, but we'll give you some ideas. In the opener is a tough race. I think this is a sequence that stands the chance of paying decently, this early pick four at Oaklawn, and pick four at Oaklawn kicks off in race number one. But it's a tough sequence, too, and it starts with a very tough race. Maiden 16 claimers in the opener going a mile and a 16th. I'm going to use the 10-4 and the 2 probably, and not with a huge comfort level, but again, just to keep the ticket manageable, I'm probably going to stick there, see if I can get through the first leg with that. Moose Got Even has been racing most recently, and that means the end of November at Churchill, has been up in Kentucky, Churchill and Keeneland. Does have a come-from-the-cloud style, and you're always up against it a little bit, but I'll tell you what, at Oaklawn, I always want that horse that's making the move on the turn. The horse that's sitting fourth or fifth seems to have a little momentum on the turn. It seems like they turn into the stretch. And not always, but more often than not, that horse is in the mix as they get to about the eighth pole and stands a chance of going right by. So, you know, you're always up against it with the come-from-the-cloud style. But I think at Oaklawn, maybe it's a little more potent. So Moose Got Even over Arguto, the number four horse, who this one, on the other hand, showed a little speed last time, Typically doesn't, though. And given the fractions last time, I think just kind of fell into the lead. So I think this is one that potentially will be a little bit closer than we see in some of the races underneath. But I don't think we'll get that speed that we saw last time. It's a Nick Zito trainee. And more importantly than the pace at all, the speed or whatnot, I just like the fact that the horse kind of stepped up with the drop to the 10 level at Parks last time. The numbers were improving over the last few starts. Has some experience over the Oaklawn surface. It wasn't much last season, but was clearly in against better. So I think at this 16,000 level, off of the last race, Arguto playable in here. And then in the third spot, Enjoy the Journey coming down from Hawthorne. We saw Ingrid Mason early in the meet hit with a couple of Hawthorne shippers. And so I don't know whether it has been defined enough that that is a super angle, but until it is defined one way or the other, I'll take an extra look at the horses coming out of Hawthorne in the Chicago area, and at 8-1 and the potential to go either way. It's hard to predict where the odds might go in this. You know, it's a large field, and you can make cases for a few of them in here. But 10-4-2 what I'm going to look at, and as I say, it's a tough race. Georgia Deputy, I think, is playable from the rail. Highlight Reel and Empty Nester are both interesting to me. Number up in Kentucky last time for Highlight Reel. Empty Nester off a decent try last time at Penn National, and both horses that'll offer some odds. So there are other directions I could go here and maybe at some good value. But as I say, I'm just going to, because I have what I think is decent value a little bit later on, I'll try to make a stand probably with the 10-4-2 in the opener at Oaklawn. Race number two at Oaklawn is a 35-40 claimer, 3/4 of a mile, 5-4-3-2. And as I say, I'll take a look at scratches a little bit later on, decide where and if will pare down necessarily. But My Boy Lollipop in the second race, and this may be one where you do pare down because this one may just have the edge, but I wasn't convinced of that because the career debut was for a 15 tag down at Fairgrounds. Now it goes for a 40 tag. So I wasn't quite sure, but boy, off the number fired down at the Fairgrounds. That was also over a muddy track, may have freaked on the off going. So I like My Boy Lollipop, and as I say, this may be one where you could pare down and just kind of go there because he does seem to have an edge on the field. There were just a couple of question marks that had me probably going at least a little bit deeper. Yeah, goes out for Ron Moquette off a good maiden breaker at Indiana. Excuse me, the number was a little bit light as compared to the top pick. Very competitive with the rest of this bunch, but I thought, you know what, that number could easily improve in the second career start and dropping in for the tag today. Norm McKnight has Elite and Big, and as I say, early in the meet, you're kind of seeing who's doing well, who's not. Norm McKnight typically does pretty well down at Oaklawn, maybe not knocking it out of the park on the win end the way you would think, but only limited starters so far. And enough of those are coming in the money that I think you have to take a serious look at everything Norm McKnight sends out. Asmussen has good judgment, hasn't been seen since late spring, well, actually early summer at Lone Star. But a couple of good performances with numbers that match with this bunch. And given the layoff, I won't be shocked if this horse comes back with an improved effort. Coming up from Sam Houston off a bullet workout, good judgment. I might regret having the horse as far down as I do because, as I say, there may be some upside potential there off the layoff that puts this horse in a much better spot against this particular bunch. So in the second at Oaklawn, 5-4-3-2. These are the kind of races, race number three, that adds some value to these picks down at Oaklawn. State bred maiden specials going 6 furlongs. That makes them Arkansas breds, obviously, down at Oaklawn. I have it 5, 12, 11, and 4. Exotic Pegasus by Fusaichi Pegasus. Showing a first-time gelding symbol. Hasn't been seen since mid-November at Remington. And the Remington horses typically do fine at Oaklawn, and so far that's been the case as well. The career debut, split the field, fifth in a field of 11, so I think it's one to build off of, but the number stacks up nicely with the horses that have run so far. So I had to put that one in with the experience, and again, the number, and I was racing over at Remington in the career debut. That means was against Open Company, now moves in against the Arkansas Breds. So Exotic Pegasus is a logical player. And then, you know, you can suss out a little bit on the breeding and find there are Arkansas sire lists out there, and which sires maybe, because most of us aren't going to know who is, like in New York, Central Banker is one you look at on the New York bred side of things. Well, there are certain sires that are a little bit more potent with Arkansas breds as well. Lori's Rocket is in that category, and Amazing Destiny in that category as well. So Raticator and Amazing Wisdom, the 12 and the 11, maybe a little bit of breeding attract my attention. Amazing Destiny, the sire, both the 13 and the 14. Should they get in off the AE list? Probably have to take a little look there too. Moonshine Moment, another one of those coming down from Hawthorne that I just had to include in the mix at 20 to 1. Wayne Catalano and his son-in-law Channing Hill team up here. Well beaten up against Open Company in Chicago. But as I say, those Hawthorne shippers, that one could be interesting, a little bit of a price. So I'll probably have to toss that one in some fashion. Third at Oaklawn, 5, 12, 11, and 4. And finally, wrapping up the early pick four at Oaklawn in the fourth, 1, 5, 12, and 7. The 11 scares me a little bit as well. As I say, I'm hoping scratches can help me parse things out a little bit later on, but just trying to give some ideas, and maybe you can put together your own ticket at your price comfort level and hope for the best, because as I say, I think there'll be potentially some value in this early pick for at Oaklawn. I have again 1, 5, 12, and 7 with the 11 just sitting outside of the mix. Spyra Gyra coming out of a nice win last time up at Turfway, claimed out of that race. Trainer does okay off the claim. I think it's going to fit nicely with this group. Violent Ridge, it's Robertina Diodoro, first time in his barn, was last seen in Southern California, maybe more importantly, last seen in December of 2018. So well over a year on the sidelines. That's the question mark. But Diodoro doing well at the meet, does very well first time in his barn, and comes back for a reduced level. So I couldn't leave that one out. Third spot, we will go out to number 12, Darren's Fortune. Nice win last time up at Woodbine, trained by Norm McKnight. And again, Norm typically does well at the meet. Had to put that one in. And in the fourth spot, Calculating King. Close up second place finish down at Sam Houston last time against maybe a little bit better price-wise. Was running against similar at Remington prior. And just seems to be number-wise in good form over the past few starts, and in a form number-wise that stacks up with this group. So that's one that potentially I can kind of leave out. I would, before I parse down to those top three though, I'd take another look maybe at the Asmussen horse front page, as I say, the 11, because it's Asmussen scares me a little bit. But potentially I suppose I could pare down to the top three in here, but I'll take a closer look later when I actually put the ticket together. Fourth race at Oaklawn, 1, 5, 12, and 7. All right, we'll take a break. As promised earlier, we will be joined momentarily by Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. We'll get some of his thoughts on the Gulfstream action from yesterday. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing?
RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of ranch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
We'll be joined now by Mike Welch. Of course, we check in with Mike a lot up at Saratoga when he's based up there in the summertime, but his wintertime home base, Gulfstream Park. And after yesterday's stakes action, I thought we'd check in. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Happy to have you on board and talk a little bit about yesterday. Before we talk yesterday, I'd love to get a first-hand account last week. Mandatory pay on Sunday in the Rainbow Six. But on Pegasus Day, I was amazed. I mean, Spooky Channel, yes, a big price. Zulu Alpha, I thought, paid more than maybe the talent level should have. So, again, there were a couple of prices in the mix. But I'm just wondering what the buzz was as we went into the Pegasus, the last leg of the Rainbow, and five of the 10 horses would have paid the whole thing the day before the mandatory.
Well, we've seen that happen here about three times in the past. Remember the famous Borislaw hit the day before of a huge one a few years ago. You know, when the card came out, looking at the fields, I said to somebody, this is ripe to go. You had 12-horse fields, wide-open races. You know, it looked like the type that could get hit, and lo and behold, there it was, sitting with five or six eligibles. But luckily for the house, that two of those were both on the winner of the Pegasus, so it saved the day for them anyway in a big, you know, big handle the next day. Then that's the point of it as far as the house is concerned.
Yeah, I said they must be pulling their hair out as they would, because the highest power went off. I believe the favorite was one of the singles. And
yes, he was. They were lucky. There were two on Mucho Gusto. You know, it certainly could have just as well been Mucho Gusto that had been a single. So it turned out well for them.
Yeah, just incredible. And just before we move on, what were your impressions of Mucho Gusto? I didn't know what to do with him off the three-year-old season, but clearly Baffert Adam Reddy and looks to be a player in the handicap division this year.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't going to run him here, and he said he liked the way he was training. So at the last minute, he made the decision to come, and then he wound up getting IRAD. Great decision by his agent, Stevie Rushing. He took off of the horse that ultimately scratched, so spun the run, and then wound up with the livest of all the mounts. So a good deal all around for Bob, and I guess he's headed now to Saudi for the trying to go for $20 million after getting the $3 million one here.
Jeez, incredible. All right, let's go to yesterday. Top of the show, I talked a little bit about the Holy Bull just because I couldn't wait to your visit, but I want to get your thoughts as well. I said after the Kentucky Jockey Club, I was still on the bandwagon because I thought first time around two turns, a sloppy track, some traffic trouble, I thought he'd come out of that with an education. And we talked to Jack Knowlton yesterday, and he talked about the horse was working well up at Palmetto's. The horse had maybe some gait issues, and he said they'd been working on that. Well, gait issues solved. We'll pick it up and watch the replay here. He almost beats the gate. He gets out, and then you have to figure, boy, I wonder if the instructions were not to get caught inside, because Manny Franco goes into the turn after having broken so well, three or four wide, and he clearly wants somebody to come up inside. They don't, so he winds up on the rail. And then on the beginning of the backstretch, puts the brakes on, goes backwards a little bit so he can get outside, and from there just kind of cruises home. I thought it was a really impressive three-year-old debut. What were your impressions of Tizzle in the Holy Bull yesterday?
Yeah, no. I mean, I thought he was tremendous. I didn't like the riding tactics there. You know, once you break in front, you know, if you want him to stay outside, you're in front. Just stay outside. You know, don't drop to the rail and then put on the brakes and have to come back out. Probably cost him two or three lengths there, taking back and going outside. You know, he gave that advantage to Ate Indian, but fortunately enough, he was still talented enough to to go by him through the stretch. He's still green. I mean, he lugged in. It didn't change leads until almost the 16th pole. So it was a good effort all around. The buyer number is not out yet. I'm guessing it's going to be somewhere around 100, a little under 100, or a little over 100 if they don't fool around with the number too much. So, a perfect beginning as far as that horse was concerned.
Yeah, and I read a quote in your article after the race where Barkley kind of said that, oh, it worked out perfectly for us. But I'm with you. If I was the trainer, I guess after the race, you don't care. But if I was the trainer, that move on the backstretch, that could have cost him the horse just proved to have too much talent and overcame that. But, boy, to put the brakes on and stop the momentum like that and backs up probably three spots so he can pull outside. When that was happening, I thought, wow, he's gonna have to be something to overcome this. And he eventually he was.
Yeah, I mean, look, At the Indian's a nice horse, but not in the league of Pistol Law, and maybe not really wanting to go, you know, a mile and a 16th either. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see them dropping him back to a mile or something next time. But it was a big effort on his part, too. But, I guess the instructions were to try to get outside. Barkley said get outside at all costs, and that what he did. But, you know, at that point where you are down on the inside or inside at the end, you just have to go on with it, you know, and just let him go. Make your own, you know, when you're on the lead, you can make your own track. You can go anywhere you want. He probably should have just kept him off the rail and ridden him that way. But, you know, fortunately, it turned out okay in the aftermath of the race. Barkley very happy. No comment on the ride. Said it worked out perfectly. But if he watches that replay a couple more times, he may have second thoughts about it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call him later today just to make sure the horse came back okay. You know, and then see what their plans are. You know, he mentioned the Louisiana Derby at the fairgrounds. He mentioned that to me a month ago, and he mentioned it to me last week, and he mentioned it after the race, although he put a little caveat on it after the race, too. It's not etched in stone. So we'll see. I know Barkley wants to stretch his races out. He doesn't want to bring him back in the Fountain of Youth in 4 weeks. The Louisiana Derby is a week before the Florida Derby. Maybe when he starts thinking about it more, if you're going to wait for the Louisiana Derby, you maybe wait another week, not have to ship. I don't know. That's just my thinking, but he's got plenty of time to make that decision.
Yeah, when we had Jack on yesterday, he said the Louisiana Derby as well, which is stretched out this year to a mile and 3/16. That's going to be interesting. But it was also,
well, that might be one reason they're thinking about it, that the progression, you know, a mile and 3/16 and go into the Derby at a mile and a quarter. But, you know, this race was only a mile and a 16th yesterday, so you're going from a mile and a 16th all the way to a mile and 3/16. I don't know. I just would seem to make maybe more sense to go to a mile and an eighth and then up there. But, you know, Barkley's been there, done that. So
yeah, and
he's
that's
won the Derby. So whatever decision he makes, I know, funny side, he ran in the Louisiana Derby as a prep, and it worked out fine. So that may be the thinking right now here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think they're looking at maybe that funny side path, and it worked out for them before. And so, but with a win over the track already, we'll see if they maybe go to plan B as things progress here a little bit. All right, let's move to a little earlier on the card and take a look at the Swales, the three-year-old sprinters that maybe, you never know, wind up in things like the Woody Stevens or the Jerkins up at Saratoga on the three-year-old sprint side. But at this time of year, if you have a talented three-year-old, maybe you stretch out. We'll see what Mischievous Alex does. The Swale, it is going to be number one Mischievous Alex, and is going to be Mischievous Alex pretty easily here. And kind of an eye-popping win. 7 lengths on the chart. Chivalry runs second. Disappointing performance, I think, from Green Light Go. The number 4 horse in here is the second choice. Runs third. Untitled, even more disappointing, runs fourth. The Mark Cassie runner off the big win in the career debut and the barn change and the ownership change. So Green Light Go, Untitled, a little bit disappointing. But coming out of the win in the Parks Juvenile, Mischievous Alex, man, that was impressive.
Yeah, no, he was very impressive. And the Parks Juvenile was a big race, too. I mean, huge figure. Blinkers on first time. Obviously, the blinkers made a big difference. And, you know, see, the difference here with IRAD, riding this horse too, I'm sure he wasn't real comfortable about being down there along the inside with a 3 or 4 horse speed duel. But he decided to just stay in there, not take back and wait, go around. And ultimately, he too had the best horse and drew away one geared down, actually, at the end. Very impressive performance. And normally off a race like that, you might expect him to be jumping at the chance to stretch him out next time and maybe go to the Fountain of Youth. But John Service said the gut reaction with this horse is a mile, one turn mile is probably what he wants to do best. So he said, we'll see how he does coming out of this. He says, we could take a shot, two turns, but I don't want to, you know, do anything that I don't think this horse wants to do. So he mentioned heading to New York next time for the
Gotham.
Yeah, for the Gotham, which is a one turn mile. So that's probably the most likely option. But again, you know, you're here. The race is the Fountain of Youth in front of you. Do you take a chance and see what the thoughts of heading out to the Derby if everything went well? Possibly. Wouldn't surprise me if they make that decision. One horse they will be meeting, though, if they do that, will be Dennis's Moment, who's been sitting, you know, laying back, waiting to make his debut in the Fountain of Youth. Worked this morning, and he was pretty good. His best work I've seen from him yet here. 58-2 for 5/8, working late over a pretty chewed-up racetrack. So he's doing well, and he's heading for the Fountain of Youth for sure.
I was going to ask you about him because we had Dale on a few weeks ago. He, at that point, I think, put in a couple of works. Seems like working pretty steadily every weekend, so he'll be interesting to watch going forward.
Yeah, he's made a good progression, too. I wasn't crazy about him the first couple of works here, but as his works have gotten longer and he's gotten fitter, he's gotten better. And like I said, today was easily the best one from him yet.
All right, let's go, and I want to take a look a little bit earlier on the card. I know your colleague Marty McGee did the follow-up in the racing form, but the Forward Gal just wanted some thoughts on the performance because on the three-year-old filly side, Toneless Shape looked great on the 2020 debut for Safi Joseph. I had Safi Joseph on a few weeks ago. We talked a little bit about this horse, and he said they would point for the Forward Gal. They did. 30 cents to the dollar. She wins by 3 3/4 lengths. She'll be the number 6 horse here. Again, on the 3-year-old filly side, she was very impressive in her 3-year-old filly debut.
Well, you know, she won easily, but I was not really impressed with her.
Okay.
Her works have not been as good leading up to the race, and the time was very slow. She won 1:24 and almost 4. And then you compare that to the colt side of it. The Mischievous Alex horse went 1:22 and 4. 2 second difference. Be interesting to see what the buyer boys do with that number. I'm going to guess Mischievous Alex is going to get somewhere in the high 90s. Tonalist should probably get somewhere in the high 60s, but, you know, may get a little better than that. But, you know, she did it. She won. She's 4 for 4. And she's going to move on to the Royal Delta in a mile next time. But I think she's going to have to step up her game if anybody ships in here. You know, with some ability, I think that she could be vulnerable at that time. Yesterday, there was just really nobody behind her that ran at all. So, but like I said, until they beat her, you got to respect her.
Yeah, interesting take though. And before we let you go, like a couple of more opinions because there were some 3-year-old races. As typically this time of year on big race cards, horses that maybe to watch going forward. Todd Pletcher had the $1 million horse Palm Springs that won in the second career start and just won in the second career start.
Not real impressive. Yeah, real impressive there.
Between the two, Palm Springs and Edge of Fire, I was going to say that the more impressive, which Edge of Fire, first-time starter for Jimmy Jerkins, who won a little bit earlier on the card and looked pretty good in his career debut for Jerkins and Chiefswood. An Ontario bred, I suppose the Queen's Plate could be sitting out there, but I had talked to with their manager, Rob Landry, when we were up at Woodbine last year. He said they were looking for some more dirt horses, so maybe Edge of Fire. It will be interesting to see where they go with that one, but what were your thoughts on the Jerkins firster?
No, it was a good effort. I don't think the field was that stellar from the workout reports we had and the horses that are already run. There was really nobody in there that had shown all that much. And but you know, look, he did what he had to do. He was loaded all the way around. You can see that he was probably going to win the race as they approached the quarter pole and went to the stretch. And all he had to do was get clear, and he kicked on and won it. So it's a good first start. And a good foundation to build on down the road. And, logically, you would think something like the Queen's Plate would be, you know, in the in the future, this horse, but there's some plenty of other stops in between. So will they want to try to see if he belongs on the Derby trail? That might be something they'll think about.
Mike, before we let you go, obviously, again, talk to you plenty up at Saratoga. When you're up there, we always talk about the workout reports. But Gulfstream workout reports available at DRF as well, correct?
Yes, yeah. We sell it on a daily basis. We sell it on a weekly basis, especially these Saturday, Sunday cards with all these made special weight races. Yesterday, for sure, we had a lot of good information in there on a lot of the races on the card, including the big races. So, yeah, we've had a good meet so far. The guys have been doing well at Palm Beach Downs, Palm Meadows, and stuff out of here has been okay too. So, plenty of time left in the meet to jump on the bandwagon and make a few bucks with the workout report.
Yeah, we always tout the workout report up at Saratoga. It's a great extra tool in the toolbox. Gives you something that maybe some of the other folks don't have, but you can do it down at Gulfstream as well. Check out the handicapping products at DRF.com. Mike, as always, appreciate your time. Some thoughts on yesterday's big card, and we will talk again.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. Again, some thoughts on that nice card yesterday at Gulfstream, some of the three-year-old action. It had to probably, if you go back to the entire, Tisdalaw had to be the most impressive winner. Yeah, I mean, not just three-year-olds, just all around the country watching some of the action. Tisdalaw was the one that's going to stand out. It's going to be interesting to see if some of those Derby lists do come out. Doesn't he have to be at the top of everybody's list? But we will see as the lists come out. All right. I'm going to wrap things up. Before we do that, I do want to remind you it's a double promotion day here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Kick off your Super Bowl Sunday action by watching some racing action here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Knockout Challenge Match Bet Promotion right here this afternoon. Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Again, the programming reminder that we are out in Vegas next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We want everybody tuning in for that. It'll be a lot of fun. We will, as we did last year, pull over some of the biggest players, some industry personalities, and we'll just have a lot of fun. Point out where some of our locals are performing as the weekend progresses, and hopefully, like last year, get some locals to the final table. That'll be fun, but we will talk to some of the biggest players in the game and get their insights and into handicapping and wagering and whatnot. That all happens next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, live from Bally's in Las Vegas, National Handicapping Championship, right here on Capital OTB TV with live cut-ins throughout the weekend. All right, we want to thank our friends at Gulfstream before we wrap up. Gulfstream Park champions start here. Appreciate their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. I am going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America, another big Sunday edition. Next weekend, no Racing Across America proper here in the studio. We'll probably have a little something put together for you from out in Vegas, but we will be in Vegas, head out on Thursday. So, again, keep that in mind. We want you tuned in all weekend. And it's fun to see how the big guys progress through the weekend, through Friday, and then there's a cut on Saturday, and then there's the cut to the final table on Sunday, and it's fun to see how people progress and how the races play out, and a little bit of a long shot or a head-scratcher comes through, and you look up at the leaderboard and who had that. As they get to the final table, the final 10, they post before the race what everybody has bet. And so at that point, you can watch and really kind of root along or root against. It's going to be a lot of fun again this weekend, this upcoming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday out in Vegas. So, again, I want to keep pounding you that and remind you to jump on board and watch throughout the weekend. All right, I'm going to be here as far as this weekend. A little bit later on, about an hour and a half or so, we'll kick back in for some OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. OTB Live, Thursday, well, when we kicked off our week, Thursday I was really treading water. But Friday and Saturday, yesterday at Gulfstream, I can't say they were big prices, but doing okay with the Gulfstream card yesterday, a number of winners on top. And so Friday and Saturday we've done all right. We'll see if we can keep the roll going on this Sunday afternoon. Again, we'll be back in about an hour and a half. Seth Merrow in the studio wrapping it up for Racing Across America. We'll see you in a few.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.